Welcome to the Skull King Football Podcast, presented by Vox DFS Firelines. Now, here are your hosts, Justin and Ryan Skullrood.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Skull King Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Skullrood. I am your host. Tonight, we've got a fun little show. We're going to kind of go over the weekend, what's coming up in the games this week. Give you a few starts and a few sits for those games. We're going to go over all the injury news because there's a lot of it this week. A lot of hopeful people to play, and then some that won't be playing, and one that finally the news is over. So with all that being said, let's go ahead and get into the headlines.
Today's headlines.
All right. Starting it off, just to get this over with and done, finally, Le'Veon Bell did not report today by the deadline, or was it yesterday? Since today is Wednesday. Yesterday by the deadline, therefore making it so that he cannot play the entire 2018 season, meaning all James Conner fans are officially rejoicing, me included, because that means you have the number three running back in fantasy right now who is not going to lose any of his snaps unless he gets injured. Hallelujah. All right. Now that we don't have to talk about Le'Veon Bell for the rest of the season, let's go ahead and move on to more important things. Patriots' Rob Gronkowski is set to return once they come off the bye. However, Dwayne Allen is injured and will be silent for a bit. Hopefully he'll be able to come back right after the bye week. When it comes to Gronk, I've seen a couple different places. I've kind of said this the last couple weeks as well. Trade Gronk while you can. I don't think he is going to get much healthier in the season. I know they're going to use him a lot down the stretch, but with how much he is getting beaten up, I don't know how much more punishment he can take. He is probably going to retire after this year with how bad his back has been this year. So it's kind of my two cents. If you've got him, yeah, you probably have to start him up when he comes back from bye. If you can get something for him, I would do it at this point. Especially with, I think, the ESPN trade deadline is the 21st, which is like next Wednesday. So if you do it by then, go ahead and get it done. Stephon Diggs told NFL Network's Ian Rappaport that he participated in Monday's practice. Looks like he will be good to go for this weekend's game against who's Minnesota playing? Minnesota is playing at Chicago. That'll be a good game. That's right. That's Sunday Night Football. So, Aaron Rodgers believes the Packers, quote, need to continue to give Aaron Jones more opportunities. All of fantasy football Twitter would agree that Aaron Jones, all season, everyone's been saying Aaron Jones is the better fantasy running back for Green Bay, and it's about time that people on the Packers started realizing that as well. I really hope that, you know, in the Thursday night game that Aaron Jones isn't all that great. I hope that basically anyone, especially anyone with the first name Aaron, is not that great, being a Seahawks fan. But anyways, moving on. Kiki Kuti believes that there's a high possibility he returns for Week 11 against the Redskins. I'm not sure what to think about this one. I'm hoping he's back. It'll be interesting to see what kind of usage he gets with Demaryius Thomas now in the fold. He kind of went back and forth when he was healthy and Will Fuller was also healthy. So that's kind of, you know, something to watch. I don't know necessarily what to think of this. He is still on waivers because someone just dropped him in one of my leagues, so I'm considering picking him up. Don't know if I'll play him, kind of back and forth. I'm projected to lose by enough of this one. I may play him just for the, you know, take a shot at it. So, Aaron Rodgers is working on short practice. He will play this week. Randall Cobb, Kevin King, and a few other people did not practice. So Randall Cobb is out for this week against the Seahawks. Some more work for Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Jimmy Graham, I believe, was officially taken off of the injury report, so he will be good to go in a game against his former team. Let's see. Monday night's Chiefs-Rams game has been moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles due to poor field conditions in Estadio Azteca, in Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. The reason for the problem with the field is because I believe it was a Shakira concert, just basically tore up the field completely. So, well, this is a defense one. Bradley McDougal said his knee is feeling much better and should be good to play Thursday. That is a big deal, especially going up against Green Bay. That could cause a little bit of trouble for the Green Bay receivers. McDougal's been an absolute beast this year when he's been healthy and on the field. Almost feels like we haven't really taken that much of a step back since Bradley McDougal moved into that strong safety spot with Cam Chancellor retiring. Yeah, we got to that. Randall Cobb didn't even travel to Seattle, so he is not playing in this game Thursday night. Nick Mullins will remain the 49ers starter, moving on for now. Let's see. Okay, The Athletic's Jeff Zerbiak reports that the Ravens have continually mentioned Robert Griffin III as a candidate to start this week. It's kind of interesting to me. It's interesting that they would go with Robert Griffin III. Baltimore is playing against Cincinnati. It'll be at home, so that'll be helpful. I think it'll be good for them to use Robert Griffin III as the veteran who has a little more playing experience. I still think that they're going to use Lamar Jackson in the packages, Wildcat and that kind of stuff like they have been. But Jackson may actually get some time this week. Again, all of this is speculative because we don't know for sure how bad Flacco's hip has been injured. So as of right now, all the reports have been saying Flacco doesn't need to practice, but if he's healthy enough to play Sunday, he's going to play. We don't know really much of anything right now. All we do know is that Baltimore is going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, if not the worst defense in the NFL, with Cincinnati, and it'll be at home in Baltimore. So this really could be a huge game for Baltimore anyways. Texans coach Bill O'Brien tells reporters that running back Donta Foreman will practice earlier today. His 21-day window opens for a possible return. For those of you who can get Donta Foreman, have the space on your roster, maybe look at doing that. I don't have space on my roster right now. With having three guys on one roster, I don't have the one roster that he's available in the league. I have James White, David Njoku, and Nick Chubb all on bye week, so I don't have a whole lot of extra room on my bench right now. So maybe next week, if no one's picked him up, I may do that. So, here's a little quick note on the Seahawks backfield. I talked a little bit about this in our last podcast with the waiver wire show. If you read my waiver wire articles that I wrote this week, I did one for quarterbacks, one for running backs, and one for wide receivers. Sorry, I didn't get to the tight ends this week. But, honestly, let's be totally clear. The tight end position is an absolute junk heap in terms of waiver wire. If there's a tight end on the waiver wire, there's a reason that he's there, and you don't have a whole lot of hope. So, anyways, back to the Seahawks. First-round pick Rashad Penny said that he's feeling lighter on his feet than he did earlier in the season. Hopes to earn the coach's trust to play more on third downs. Hopefully this game that he had on Sunday will kind of be a little bit of a push to get him more involved. The problem is Chris Carson is healthy. Chris Carson's an absolute beast running the ball, especially behind that line. Mike Davis has been phenomenal filling in for Chris Carson. It's honestly nice to see Rashad Penny doing what he is doing. Now what this could mean is that next year Mike Davis is no longer with the team, and it's just Carson and Penny, and that would be an absolutely phenomenal dynamic duo going on next year. But for right now, I would, you know, if you can stash Penny, go ahead and stash him. I've got him stashed in one league for now. I may have to drop him depending on how things shake out the next couple of weeks. But let's see. Big news for the Chargers. Coach Anthony Lynn says that star pass rusher Joey Bosa is going to practice in a limited capacity. May need some time to get into football shape, but Joey Bosa is getting ready to torment quarterbacks. The Chargers defense has been pretty solid all year. So, you know, adding Bosa to that could be really devastating for some teams, especially in the AFC West. Jordy Nelson with his knee could miss week 11 against the Cardinals. There's been rumors that he was going to retire mid-season, like on Monday, that he was going to retire. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. We'll kind of see how this goes. But the Raiders have been absolutely awful. So, you know, Jordy Nelson has been non-existent basically since the Amari Cooper trade. So not necessarily fantasy relevant anyways. Bengals coach Marvin Lewis said he hopes to have AJ Green for Sunday's game with Baltimore. This is a lot quicker turnaround than a lot of people were thinking was going to happen with AJ Green. If this is the case, this is good for AJ Green owners, as well as this is huge for Tyler Boyd owners, because Boyd cannot do it on his own. He needs to be able to run most of his stuff from the slot. And if AJ Green's pulling the number one corner, well, then that's going to open up Boyd for a whole lot more mismatches. So definitely something to keep an eye on. This, like I said, this is great for not only AJ Green owners, but also for Tyler Boyd owners. And for anyone who possibly is considering streaming Andy Dalton, but this is not the week to do it against Baltimore. James Conner was a full participant in practice today. Says he feels good. Declined to say if he was actually diagnosed with a concussion. This has been what's interesting, is that Conner was never actually officially diagnosed, as far as anyone knows, with a concussion. They basically just took him out early in the game because they were last Thursday, because they were kicking the snot out of Carolina. And so, you know, he was treated for a possible concussion, and then they took him out of the game. So, you know, we'll see. Chris Godwin ankle didn't practice on Wednesday. If Godwin doesn't play, Humphreys is going to be huge for this next week. Ronald Jones returned to limited practice, but he hasn't been fantasy relevant at all this year. Chris Carson was officially removed from the Week 11 injury report, meaning he is ready to go, which muddies up the waters a little bit for the Seahawks running backs, but Chris Carson will be the lead runner in that group. Kiki Kuti did practice on Wednesday, limited with his hamstring, but did practice a little bit. Yes, Jimmy Graham was officially removed from the Week 11 injury report. And I believe that's it for the injuries. So let's go ahead. We're going to hop into the rundown for this weekend, starting with the Thursday night game. So let's get going. All right, so the rundown this week is, you know, as always, brought to you by StatRoute. I can't say enough about StatRoute and about this service. We've been using it basically all year. The way that you're able to set up your stats, set up the kind of the filters to mix and match to see who you actually want to use during a week has been phenomenal. Again, you guys, you need to go to statroute.com, use the promo code SkulkingFF. You'll get 25% off your monthly subscription. I think it's regular price like $10. With the promo code, it's like $7.50. Again, like I've said over and over, that's cheaper than a cup of coffee and a sandwich at a coffee shop. So seriously, go to statroute.com, use the promo code SkulkingFF. These stats are going to help you. The way that you can compare everything, or this is going to help you get through the play, get to the playoffs and through the playoffs. So, again, go to statrout.com, check them out. And again, use the promo code SkullKingFF. All right. So starting with the first game, Green Bay at Seattle. As far as who to play not and not to play, you're obviously going to start whichever Seattle running back is starting. This is going to be Chris Carson. Carson's going to be a must-play in this game. I still think that Wilson is a startable quarterback. He has been coming on of late. And Tyler Lockett, I think, in PPR, especially if your league has return yardage, he is a flex. He is a flex-worthy player. And for the most part, that's about it from the Seahawks. As far as the Packers go, you're going to start Aaron Rodgers. You're going to start Aaron Jones. The Seattle defense has been pretty good against pretty dang good against the pass. I think where they've actually struggled the most this season is actually against the run. Let me take a look at that real quick. So, yeah, Seattle's basically middle of the road in terms of rushing yards per game, but they're towards the bottom of the pack. They're giving up 5 yards per carry. So not exactly great. So that, you know, that should be pretty good for Aaron Jones in this game. As far as the pass yardage goes, let me real quick pull that one up. The passing defense, Seattle is top 7 in terms of yards given up. Yards per game, they are number 7, giving up only 228 pass yards a game. However, they're going up against Aaron Rodgers, who over the last 10 years is the number 1 quarterback in terms of fantasy points per game against the Seahawks in the regular season. So you're also going to want to start, I mean, you're going to start Adams and Valdez-Scantling, I believe, is a start in this game. Jimmy Graham, I think, is kind of a back and forth. If you don't have any other options, then, yeah, you're going to start Jimmy Graham. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Graham does get shut down a little bit in this game due to the athleticism of the Seattle linebackers. So, all right, moving on to the next game. Dallas at Atlanta. As far as the visiting team Dallas goes, Dak Prescott, I stated last episode that I believe he is a streamable quarterback this week. There are no receiving options that I like. Amari Cooper may be flex worthy. He's starting to get more integrated in that offense. But there's no tight end I want from them. I don't want any other wide receiver from them. Really, the only people that I would want in this game are going to be possibly Dak Prescott streaming against a defense that has lost both of its free safeties. And I believe Deion Jones may be back or maybe coming close to coming back. And then Ezekiel Elliott, who can run the ball like crazy. That's really it as far as you're going to get from Dallas. From Atlanta, you're starting Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, I believe, is 2nd in the league or maybe 3rd in the league in terms of total pass yards. You know, when he's got the weapons like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu is even, you know, has even been semi-solid this year. Hooper's is come on a little bit. Plus, you've got Tevin Coleman who can catch the ball out of the backfield. The defense for Dallas has been pretty tough this year. Let me actually pull that. Their defense is actually 7th in the league, but the Atlanta Falcons offense is 6th in the league. So while the Falcons don't run the ball all that well, Tevin Coleman can catch the ball out of the backfield, so that helps Tevin Coleman there. So really, the main weapons in Atlanta, you're starting no matter what. There's really no one I'm fading in this game for the most part. Maybe Tevin Coleman, again, if you have better options with some of the bye weeks this week. Tevin Coleman is definitely, I believe, a running back 2. Yeah, right about that running back 2 spot. So I don't feel great about starting Austin Hooper. I would like to have a better option to start for tight end. But if, you know, again, if that's your option, you know, you really, there's no one on the waiver wire that I really like to be better than him this week. So moving on to the next game. Cincinnati at Baltimore. If AJ Green is back, this could be pretty good for Andy Dalton. Again, I don't really like Andy Dalton in this game, especially being away in Baltimore. Baltimore's defense is, I believe, one of the top defenses of the season. Boyd could have a decent game. I like Boyd in this game, going up against a secondary receiver or a secondary corner, if A.J. Green plays. If A.J. Green doesn't play, I don't like anyone on the Cincinnati offense, not even Joe Mixon. In terms of Baltimore, if Joe Flacco doesn't play, really there haven't been a whole lot of options to go with. John Brown has faded a little bit over the last few weeks. So it's, you know, Brown's not necessarily the best option. I mean, it's possible that through this bye week, they've worked on getting him a little more involved. Well, not necessarily more involved. I mean, he's had over the last 4 weeks before the bye week, he had 3 targets for 2 receptions, 28 yards. Then he blows up against New Orleans for 7 for 7, 134 yards and a touchdown. And then the next week? 3 catches on 7 targets for 28, 3 catches on 6 targets for 15 yards. So really he's, you know, we'll see what kind of involvement they can get for him going into kind of the second half of the season for them. But I think he's more of a, because of how bad the Cincinnati defense is, he's a wide receiver 3. If Flacco doesn't play, he's more of a flex option, more of that flex kind of a spot. With I think the wide receiver 3 upside, and that's about it. I don't like. I'd maybe give Alex Collins flex worthy ability. I haven't seen anything from Ty Montgomery to know what to do with him yet, because he hasn't. I mean, this will be his first week actually active with the Browns. So that's kind of where I'm going on that game. All right, moving on to the next game. Let's see. It is Carolina at Detroit. So starting with the visiting team, you're going to start Cam Newton. I think that this will be a bit of a bounce back game for Carolina. Start Cam Newton. Obviously you're going to start Christian McCaffrey because he's been an absolute stud as well. Typically Detroit in the past, over the past few years, has been horrible defending tight ends, so which could be a good thing for Greg Olsen. I've not dug in too far into how Detroit has done this year so far against tight ends. I just know historically they're pretty bad against tight ends, so that could be could be a struggle there. I really don't like any of the other wide receivers. I think it's too much of a boom or bust crapshoot. Especially with Detroit only giving up 229 passing yards a game. On the other side of the ball, I think that Matthew Stafford could have a bit of a bounce back game in this one. Carolina has been pretty bad against the pass. We really saw that last week. They are actually in the bottom third of the league, giving up 258 passing yards a game. I have not seen any other updates on Marvin Jones, but this could be a really, really big game for Kenny Golladay. Let me see what it's. Jones did not practice Wednesday. So it looks like this could be an absolutely huge game for Kenny Golladay, because he basically would be the only wide receiver. So he could finish with 15 targets in this game. Finished with 13 last week after Marvin Jones went out in the halfway through the third quarter. So Kenny Golladay could be in for an absolutely huge game. As far as Kerryon Johnson, let me look at the rush defense for Carolina. They're only giving up 4.4 yards per carry. That's right about middle of the pack. Yards per game, Carolina is giving up less than 100 rushing yards per game. So I think that this may be more of a passing game for Detroit. This could be a game where Stafford breaks out again a little bit. We see more of the vintage Stafford throwing the ball to Golladay to Maybe some Kerryon Johnson out of the backfield, as well as maybe Theo Riddick getting a little more involved. So that's where I'm going with this one. Moving on, Tennessee at Indiana. As far as the visiting team goes, I like Marcus Mariota as a streaming option in this one. I picked him up in my 14-team league to play him this week. I think that he could have a very solid game against the Indianapolis defense, who, let's be honest, they haven't been great. In terms of passing yards, they're 21st in total passing yards, giving up 268 yards against. So they're giving up much more than Carolina. They're in that bottom third also. In yards per game, they don't have a whole lot of interceptions, do they? Indianapolis, they've got 9, so they're top third in terms of interceptions. 21 sacks. Looks like that's on the higher end of the middle of the road. So I think that this could be an okay game for the Indianapolis Colts defense, getting all my games mixed up here. But Deion Lewis has been electric. I still am not a believer in Derrick Henry. I think that he is desperation play for bye weeks only. Deion Lewis is startable, especially in PPR leagues. Corey Davis is starting to show some things, showing some life. He is a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside, I believe, in this game. And Jonnu Smith has finished the last 2 games with a touchdown. So he is on the streaming radar. I still wouldn't trust him unless you absolutely have no other option. As for Indianapolis, you're starting Luck. Luck has been on fire this year. However, the Tennessee defense could stop him up a little bit in this game. They basically shut down the New England offense. But with Luck's ability to basically throw it to anyone, using both Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. Ebron, I believe, is on pace for 18 touchdowns on the season, which is absolutely ridiculous. And if he can get the ball out to T.Y. Hilton, plus pass the ball out of the backfield to Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack. I don't see Marlon Mack getting a whole lot of running going in this game, but could catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't see him as a running back 1. I see him as a running mid to low running back 2 in this game, simply because of Tennessee's defense. So, I think that gives you a good rundown for that game. Moving on, Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. I hope you guys don't mind how fast I'm going through this. So, Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. I'm not starting Ben Roethlisberger if I don't have to, because Ben Roethlisberger, for the most part, over his career, does not travel well and does not play well on the road. I really like James Conner in this game. The defense for the Jacksonville Jaguars has not been all that great on the ground. They are middle of the road, giving up 118 yards per game, which is right about the middle of the road. Jackson, they've only caused 2 fumbles, and they've given up 7 touchdowns. So that's usually enough of a window for James Conner to have a really big game. I think that they focus on him in this one. As far as the pass defense for Jacksonville, they're usually towards the top of the list in terms of how well their defense plays. They're averaging only giving up 200 yards passing per game, and so I think that this could be a little bit of a tough game for Ben Roethlisberger, possibly for Antonio Brown. However, on the other side of the ball, with A.J. Bouye, it very well could be that, because I know that he's been in and out. I haven't seen a recent update on how he's doing for this week. Juju Smith-Schuster could be in for a semi-decent game. So the Jacksonville defense does play very, very well, plays very, very tough. So, again, I look at this more of a game where the Steelers are going to focus on James Conner and using him in this game. As far as the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, their best wide receiver, you're looking at probably Dede Westbrook. at this point. He could get something going. They're going to run the ball with Leonard Fournette. I think that Fournette could have a pretty decent game. The Steelers' defense in terms of against the run has been pretty good. Only given up 90.8 yards per game. Only caused three fumbles so far. Given up six touchdowns, 4 yards a carry. Leonard Fournette is a little bit of that kind of upper echelon runner, so he could, he'll be more on the higher end of that. So I think that Fournette is definitely a must start in this game as well. I'm not starting Blake Bortles. I really don't want to start D.D. Westbrook unless I absolutely have to. And there are no tight ends on Jacksonville that make me feel comfortable at all. So moving on, Tampa Bay at the New York Football Giants. I definitely like Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game. The Giants' defense against the pass. See if I can find New York Giants middle of the road, 245 yards per game, given up 12 touchdowns, only had six interceptions, only sacked the quarterback 10 times. That's what, the second worst. And so I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick could be in for a very big game here, which means that Mike Evans could be in for a big game, DeSean Jackson. Chris Godwin, if he's healthy, could be in for a good game. If Godwin doesn't play, Adam Humphries is a guy to jump on, because before last week he had had 27 targets in the previous three games. This last week, Fitzpatrick focused a little more on Chris Godwin. Godwin finished with seven catches for 107 yards. So that's kind of where I'm going there. O.J. Howard is a must start. He is, I believe, tight end number 7 in PPR right now. As far as the New York Giants go, you start Saquon Barkley, you start Odell Beckham. I think that Sterling Shepard is a wide receiver 3. Evan Ingram, I am starting him in one league simply because I've got David Njoku on bye. He hasn't been all that great, but I don't think that's more his fault. If you look at really the way he really broke out his rookie year, which was, I believe, last year, Odell Beckham and the other top two wide receivers on the Giants were all gone, so they had no one else to throw to but Evan Ingram. Now that they've got healthy bodies, Ingram's not going to get as much of a workload, and they've got Saquon Barkley running the ball, which Manning does a lot of drop-offs or dump-offs to Barkley as well. So for me, Evan Ingram is a tight end, back-end tight end 1, top-end tight end 2. I don't really trust him yet. He just hasn't had enough playing time with his injuries. Moving on, Houston at Washington. Looking at Washington's defense, let's see. Against the pass, they are giving up 270 yards per game through the air. Giving up a quarterback rating of 93.3. Only had 9 interceptions, given up 15 TDs. They do have 25 sacks. They haven't been able to get to the quarterback a bit. And with the Houston Texans, their offensive line is kind of beat up enough that Deshaun Watson may be taking a couple sacks in this game. He's already on pace for like 60-some sacks, I believe. But I do like Deshaun Watson to throw all over the Redskins. Lamar Miller is definitely a start right now. Dante Foreman is not healthy enough yet. I think that he may, come in towards playoff time, depending on how well he's able to run the ball. He actually took over for Lamar Miller at one point last year. So if he can get healthy enough, that may be a possibility again this year. But for right now, Lamar Miller, for the most part, has run pretty well as of late. So I see him having a semi-decent game this week. DeAndre Hopkins is still going to be a target monster, especially if Kiki Kuti can't go. If he can, I still think that he's the number 2 for now, above Demaryius Thomas, simply because of the familiarity with the offense. But DeAndre Hopkins should eat in this game. As far as the Redskins, going for them, looking at the Houston defense, especially against the pass. Houston. Let me find it here. They're kind of middle of the road, 13th giving up 243 pass yards a game, but Alex Smith doesn't throw for that many since he doesn't have Tyreek Hill or Kareem Hunt on his team anymore. As far as the Houston run defense goes, looking at this for, they are sixth in the league, giving up only 836 yards, 92.9 yards per game on the ground. So this could be a little bit of a rough game for Adrian Peterson. I don't know. As last time I checked, Chris Thompson is going to be out, most likely will be out this game. Jamison Crowder is going to be out this game, which means for me, the number one wide receiver to use for the Redskins is going to be Maurice Harris. Over the last two games, he has had, I want to say it's 15 catches for about 175 yards, right in that ballpark. I think that he could be in for another, especially if Houston can get up on Washington where they have to pass the ball. Harris could be in for another 10 to 12 targets in this game with you know, maybe eight catches for about 75 yards. Possibly, if he get in the end zone, it's even better. So he's definitely flex-worthy in PPR games, but that would be it. That's about it for of what I like from the Redskins. Jordan Reed, back end tight end one. He's kind of that tight end kind of 10 to 13 range in my rankings, I believe. So I think that he's still usable. I'm just not big on him as far as this year goes. This next game is a bit of a dumpster fire, to be completely honest. The Oakland Raiders against the Arizona Cardinals. One of the top teams I've seen to stream this week is the Arizona Cardinals defense against the Oakland Raiders. It will be at home in Arizona. Rosen, I think, could be okay in this game if you're desperate for a streaming option. I don't like either quarterback, to be completely honest. Really, the only person, two, maybe three people I like in this game. David Johnson should run all over the non-existent Oakland Raiders defense. Larry Fitzgerald should have an okay game against the Oakland Raiders defense. And Christian Kirk, I believe, is possibly flex worthy in deeper leagues. Larry Fitzgerald could finish wide receiver three, wide receiver two numbers, depending on how they use him and depending on how much they just give the ball to David Johnson. I do not like any Oakland Raiders in this game except Jalen Richard in PPR leagues. I think he is the only usable player at all for the Oakland Raiders. Maybe Jared Cook. Jared Cook has actually fallen off a little bit lately as well. So let me actually see, pull him up real quick. Jared Cook stats over the last few weeks. Well, okay, so last couple weeks he's actually been okay. Four catches on five targets for 74 and a TD 3 weeks ago against Indianapolis, against San Francisco, two catches for 20 yards. Last week against the Chargers was four catches for 52 yards on nine targets. So he's getting the target share for the most part. But, you know, against Arizona, that may be the only option that they have, is Jared Cook at this point. So Jared Cook is, you know, he'll be in the kind of that tight end one conversation. Moving on, we've only got a few more games left. Denver at the Chargers. I like the Chargers to, you know, kind of steamroll the Broncos at this point. Starting with the Denver Broncos, I'm not starting Case Keenum. Phillip Lindsay has been a running back on the edge of running back one for most of the year, kind of on that high end running back two. Royce Freeman is supposed to be back this week, so that's going to basically eliminate Devontae Booker from any relevance. I believe it takes a little bit away from Phillip Lindsay. However, Phillip Lindsay was getting a fair share of runs even when Royce Freeman was healthy. So I do believe this kind of pulls back on Lindsay's productivity a little bit. As far as the receivers go, Emmanuel Sanders is going to get his. He is the top target for Case Keenum this year, even when Demaryius Thomas was there. Emmanuel Sanders in PPR leagues, I believe, is a top 10, kind of that 10 to 12 wide receiver. Cortland Sutton possibly will be getting a little more work as he's, you know, getting a little more starting time in taking over for Demaryius Thomas. And Jeff Heuermann, this one is kind of a, again, he hadn't been targeted hardly at all for most of the season. Denver Broncos have not been great about targeting their tight ends. Last, and then just the week before the bye in week nine, he goes, like, was it 10 catches for 80-some yards and a touchdown? We will see if he gets that kind of usage. If you're kind of desperate for the tight end streamer, Heuermann may be an option for you. As far as the Chargers go, you're starting Phillip Rivers. You're starting Melvin Gordon. Austin Eckler was a big, you know, was pretty darn productive, was a top 20 running back through the first half of the season. And on the last two or three weeks, since their bye week, Melvin Gordon has officially gotten healthy, and Austin Eckler has like 50 or 60 total yards over the last couple of weeks. So I am kind of shading away from Austin Eckler, holding on to him in case there's an injury to Melvin Gordon. He will be, kind of move up into that, you know, back or top end running back two if something happens to Gordon. Keenan Allen is getting more target share. It's actually been getting into the end zone, so that's good. Tyrell Williams, I talked about this. He is only getting 4 receptions a game. That's the most he's gotten all season. So he's a boom or bust wide receiver 3. It's the only way to put it. Other than that, I don't, you know, Gates and Green aren't hardly getting used. Basically, everything's running through Melvin Gordon, and then Phillip Rivers just throwing the ball to Keenan Allen in the slot, and every once in a while taking deep shots to Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. That's basically how the Chargers offense goes. Those are the guys that you want, Rivers, Gordon, and Allen. And if you're desperate and you want to take the chance on Tyrell Williams, go that direction. All right, Philadelphia at New Orleans. This could be a real shootout. Carson Wentz, you're going to start. As far as the running game goes for Philadelphia, I would kind of stay away a little bit. Josh Adams, I would want on my bench to kind of see where it goes. But New Orleans has been very tough against the run over the last 8 weeks on this 8-game winning streak that they've been on. Only giving up like 3 yards a carry, 80 yards a game, something like that in terms of the run game. So Josh Adams may be able to get a little bit going. Really, this is going to be a passing game, especially if New Orleans really starts throwing the ball well, moving the ball like they do, really. Philadelphia may be forced to have to throw the ball, so I think Alshon Jeffrey could be in for a big game. Golden Tate, having had the full bye week to get integrated into the offense, could be used a bit in this game in the slot. I think he basically takes over Nelson Agholor's position, to be completely honest. And then moving down, Zach Ertz is going to get just absolutely pummeled with targets in this game as well. He is basically the safety valve for Carson Wentz. So as far as New Orleans goes, you start Drew Brees, you start Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram is a flex option, Michael Thomas is starting, that's it. Ben Watson is a tight end too who may get involved in the offense, but for the most part, those are the guys you start. You start the big three in New Orleans with Mark Ingram as the flex play. Second to last game, or this last game we'll cover tonight, we'll cover the Monday night game on Sunday night show. The Sunday night football game, Minnesota visiting the Bears. This is going to be a divisional rivalry. Really should be a good game. The Chicago Bears defense, especially at home, has been really, really tough. However, that being said, I still think that Kirk Cousins is a back-end quarterback one in this game. Dalvin Cook, I think, will get a fair share of work in this game. I'm putting him about 75 yards, maybe getting into the end zone. As far as the receivers go, Adam Thielen, you are going to start him. He's the number one receiver. Even after his bye week, is still the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. You're going to keep playing him. I still think that he gets targeted a lot because he runs most of his routes from the slot. He is the safety valve for Kirk Cousins. And while he may not finish with a whole bunch of yards, he may not even get into the end zone, he is going to get targeted a lot and therefore may end up getting his 100 yards again just because of the target share I think he will get in this game. Stephon Diggs is also, he's on that wide receiver 2 spot. And Kyle Rudolph is a high-end tight end 2, back-end tight end 1. especially going up against this tough defense. The Bears, Mitch Trubisky, I believe it was Brad Evans that pointed this out. I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. I believe since week, what was it, 4 or 5? Maybe it was week 3. Mitch Trubisky is the number one quarterback in fantasy, not Patrick Mahomes. Since like week 3 or 4, 5, you know, maybe it's 5. Since then, Mitch Trubisky is the number one quarterback in fantasy. I think he continues that this week and could be, you know, could throw the ball all over the place. He's going to throw the ball out of the backfield to Tariq Cohen. So Tariq Cohen is definitely a, I believe in my league, he's running back 13, 12, 13. So he's definitely a must start. Jordan Howard is a running back 2 who could get into the end zone. He's kind of a tight end, or sorry, not tight end. He is a touchdown dependent. Allen Robinson should get a decent amount of work. And Anthony Miller, I believe, is a bit of a deep threat who could also be flex-worthy, kind of boomer bust flex play. Trey Burton is a back-end to mid tight end 1 who should get a fair amount of yards in this game, should get targeted. Again, this has been kind of a high-flying offense thanks to the Nagy offense, you know, with him being the offensive coordinator. So that is all I've got for you guys tonight. I hope that I didn't pummel you too much with the information, trying to keep this high energy. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to the Skull King Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Skullrude. Good luck this week, you guys. Look forward to talking to you on Sunday night and hope you guys have a great week this week. We'll talk to you guys later. Hey, Skull King Nation. Thank you for listening to the Skull King Football Podcast. Did you like this episode? If so, be sure to go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube to subscribe. Also, please leave us a rating and reviews to let us know how we can better help you rule your leagues.